You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to William Hill Racing Radio and indeed the Racing Podcast. Dave Kellner here, joined by John Babb to preview four races for Wednesday's action. One selection coming from Bath, the other three coming from Catterick here on the podcast. First of all, a warm welcome to you, John.
Thank you very much, David.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, all good.
Let's talk about the front page of the Racing Post and what's on the front page of the Racing Post about the injection of funds into grassroots racing, it's been dubbed as, in the Racing Post. As an owner yourself, John,
yeah,
you'll have been keeping a close eye on this. £9.7 million cash injection, the majority of which is going to go to, or is going to go to boosting funds for racers, lower class racers, shall we say.
Excellent.
Good news.
Much needed. Yeah, much needed. I think sometimes the prize money that's been put in some in recent years has often been found its way to the top end where it's not really needed quite so much. But going in at the bottom end, I'd heard it was coming because obviously I think sort of Dale Gibson, who's got his ear to the ground, had given us a little bit of a heads up that this might be happening. And it's a massive boost really for people at the bottom end. And also I think it'll have a knock-on effect with it'll help integrity of racing as well when you look at it with prize money going down to eighth. People will perhaps be, obviously jockeys will be aware that prize money's to eighth, et cetera, that they'll be riding out to the finish a lot more. Mm. In terms of the owners, the £300, okay, it might not cover every cost everywhere, but in terms of it, it'll help to cover a jockey's fee and it'll go some way to covering the transport fees for a lot of your journeys. If your trainer's taking a couple of horses for what you call an average distance, you're not going to be too far out of pocket if you're finishing be sort of fifth, sixth, seventh and eighth in races. It helps to with the numbers as well in terms if trainers are seeing races where at the moment they're getting reoffered in a morning because there's only six and seven declared for races. There's obviously a little bit more of an incentive now for you to make up that eighth runner with a guarantee of £300, where your alternative might be another race a couple of days later where it looks like there might be 16 runners. At least you're going to a race where you're at least guaranteed £300. Mm. So in terms of punters for each way races and filling that, the race courses get extra money as well. Everybody's a winner with this.
Yeah.
I don't see any losers. They're losing numbers of people getting at the bottom end in terms of ownership. And when I look, there was a bit of a... This was done a couple of years ago where they did start giving £250 or £200, I think, down to about sixth place. And we picked up quite a bit of money when I added it up over the year. I think it was something like around about 3,000, 2,000 to 3,000. It was in that bracket
right.
Over the year in that money. Then that was lost the next year when that was taken away. That's quite a big loss.
You obviously, for people out there listening that don't know, you are, you run the Shropshire Wolves and they're their syndicate.
Yeah.
Do you see more syndicates being encouraged to, because we've had a lack of racehorses to fill the race meetings and the race meetings have gone up again.
Yeah.
There'll be 10 more race meetings next year. Some people will say that there are already too many race meetings. Do you think we'll get more horses and more syndicates getting involved now because there's increased prize money for more average racehorses?
Yeah,
races?
I would like to think so. Yeah, I would like to think so. That you're probably going to be losing money as an owner. I mean, you know, probably that is going to happen. But hopefully, but by an incentive like this with your horse, hopefully being able to finish in the first eight a few times, at least your amount of loss isn't going to be quite so great. And also, if they're going to put on more races, that's more targets and more opportunities for your horse. There is a severe lack of opportunities for horses, you know, lowly rated horses. Now, I know a lot of people are against this. They don't want the lowly rated racing and things like that. But unfortunately, people have bought horses. They didn't want them to be rated 47,
yeah,
you know, when they went to the sales. But they've invested a few pounds, and they've invested more money than the people who are moaning about it, because those people, a lot of the people who you see moaning about these horses and these races, they've invested nothing. All that they have, because they've had a bet, but they haven't bought a horse. And it's like them going into a car dealership and buying a car that's diesel, and then diesel being outlawed or something, or you can only use it on motorways, you can't use it in towns, and you've got a horse that you can hardly ever fetch out of its stable. So those people have got a problem, and I think it's unfair for them to have such limited opportunity myself. But so I'm quite happy with those opportunities. I mean, I don't particularly go to a sale hoping I'm going to have a horse that's rated 45, but sometimes you end up with them, and it's very difficult to place them.
Yeah, very, very good points, John. One other thing I think worthy of mention, the BHA Chief Operating Officer, Richard Wehrman's been interviewed, of course, for this. And one of his quotes that I found enlightening was that owners of an average horse on the flat recover 8 pence in the pound they spend on their fees, which astonishes me.
I like to think that we as a group do get more than that. I keep seeing these figures, but we recover more than that. But you do need to have a decent strike. I like to think we've got a really good strike rate, and we do really well. But we don't make a profit on the racing side, and we do well. So you can only make a profit by striking lucky in these big handicaps and things like that. That's the only way. But then you've probably paid a lot of money for the horse. So it is difficult as an owner to make. You've got to be in it as a hobby, really. You can't come in here thinking you're going to make money out of racing ownership. You'll soon be enlightened if you're coming with that view.
But all in all, happy with the initiative?
Very much.
Think it's very good?
Very much. Obviously, in other countries, such as in France, where they get their transport paid for them and things like that, we're not going quite that far, but this is helping to pay for it if you finish in the first eight. I mean, there's not enough money in a lot of things, not enough money in the health service, there's not enough money in education, there's not enough money in racing. If there was, we'd all, you know, I'm sure they'd do more, but I think this is going a little bit of the right way. So let's found the money from somewhere.
Yeah, let's see how it happens and materialises in the next 12 months.
And how long it lasts.
Yeah, we see
the year
bigger
after, etc.
Precisely.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a work in progress.
Yeah, it is actually down to the owners and trainers actually now to make sure these races are filled, because the embarrassment will be if they put the money in and then the races aren't filled, the money's, you know, basically being chucked away.
Yeah.
And it hasn't achieved, then all that will happen afterwards is they'll take it away again.
Yes.
So it is up to people to actually make sure that the races are filled now.
Very good. Thank you, John. Let's just get stuck into a few selections you've got for Wednesday's racing action. John, I know you're going to, you've got one selection at Bath, and that comes in the handicap at 240 over 5.5 furlongs. What's the pick here?
Yeah, I had a look at, because it's a qualifier for the Summer Sprint Series that I think the final's in October of this one. And last year's winner is in here, Storm Melody. It's quite a valuable final for the grade, because you tend to find it's run for horses really around about the sort of, you know, 65 to 75 bracket, and they're running in a 30 grand race when it comes to the final, which is a big opportunity for these horses. Storm Melody's been dropping back down the handicap. He's been running in races sort of 80, sort of a 75 and 80 grade, and he slipped back to a mark where he can slip into a 51 to 70. He gets qualified for the final. He's drawn wide, which doesn't really worry me. He goes on the ground. However, the one I like is the horse that finished not far behind him in last year's final, a horse called Esarka from Tony Carroll's yard.
Yeah.
Ridden by Callum Shepherd. He's actually been very fairly treated by the handicapper. The saddle slipped in a race that was run in the fog at Brighton. He's had a couple of runs on the all-weather, and he's definitely not as good on the all-weather as he is on the grass. And he's now dropped to a decent mark of 55. He's much I say much better off. He is better off with Storm Melody than he was in last year's final. The stable are coming into a little bit of form. Caleb Shepherd takes off a useful £3. I think Osaka, although we haven't got any prices at the moment, could be a nice little each way bet in this race tomorrow.
It's remiss of me not to ask you if you've got any runners, Shropshire Wolves, on.
Yeah, we have got a runner, but I think he's likely to be a shortish price tomorrow.
Right, okay. We'll skip over that then. The 4:30 at Catterick is a handicap over 6 furlongs, and I suppose Cupid's Arrow comes into this with a chance. He's still a maiden Ruth Carles runner, but has been running consistently well this season. Pretty decent traveller as well.
Yeah, that's the one I like, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. You saw my ring, didn't you?
I'm always following you, John. Just copying you, just glancing over you, shoulder there.
Now, I think this race will be run to suit. There's likely to be a very strong pace on, as there often is at Catterick. People like the tightness, and they think they can get away. Horses like Goadby, who's got a tremendous early pace, got an inexperienced apprentice who's not ridden a horse before on board, Richard Oliver. Spike, drawn in stall one, Paul Morrennan. He'll be another one that'll be lit up, go from the front. And of course, the old boy Sir Geoffrey in stall eight with Lewis Edmonds on board. They're likely to go hell for leather from the front. And I think Cupid's Arrow's got a great opportunity. Jimmy Sullivan, stall five, perfectly drawn for the type of ride he's likely to want to produce here.
Yeah.
I think he's a big player tomorrow for Ruth Carles. He's got form around the track. I don't think the ground will be a problem for him. So Cupid's Arrow, it looks like a real knocking each way bet for me tomorrow. Sea Ranger runs here with a £6 penalty, but I think the ground might be against him tomorrow. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if he ends up a non-runner, to be honest. But Cupid's Arrow for me.
Cupid's Arrow, the selection then for John. That's in the 4:30 at Catterick. What about the 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, yeah. Another second division of that sprint handicap. And again, likely to be a decent gallop, likes of Bold Spirit, not always front running, but I can see Phil Dennis looking to set him alight here. They've informed team, him and Declan Carroll, got good form here. Kryptonite, another one who showed electric early pace over a longer trip at Wolverhampton last week. Got the blinkers on first time, dropping back in trip. The pace he showed at Wolverhampton last week, I can see why they're coming back in trip with him, but whether he's quite good enough, I'm not quite sure. But the one that I think will benefit from the pace here is the 3-year-old of Richard Guest's My Girl Maisie. He just gets the nod from me over Deben, who's got decent course form. It could be run to suit for him, but John Williams just struggling for wins. Only had the one horse that's won this season. But My Girl Maisie out on the softer ground, I think that would be the key. Went off favourite for a race at Doncaster last time, was possibly on the wrong side of the track. But if it brings its A game from two runs ago to the table here tomorrow, I think My Girl Maisie and Connor Beasley will take an awful lot of beating here.
And My Girl Maisie in the 5 o'clock, and we finish with the 5:30. And I suppose many people will be looking at King of the Celts and Swansway, who lock horns again here as being a key form line.
Yeah, King of the Celts, yeah, definitely. The thing that's slightly off puts me off there is Hannah Worrell, very inexperienced apprentice on board. Wouldn't be the first apprentice I'd be looking at in the race. Probably the best form historically has always been a Beverly as well. Swansway, improved for stepping up in trip into middle distances, been mainly running his career much shorter. Harrison Shaw's Cape or rider. What worries me there is the ground with Swansway. There'll be a question mark on the soft ground. Admittedly, it could be. I think there's a little bit more of a rain coming through the region tomorrow. Horses that have some appeal are Philadelphia, twice a winner here at Catterick, but a very inconsistent performer. Sherman McCoy, but he's 11 now and very one-paced. But the one I like here is Canny Style.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously not ideal drawing 11, even over a mile and a half for his jockey, Seamus Cronin, who I have been quite impressed with, to be fair. He's come over from Ireland and he claims £5, but he looks very, very capable. He looks strong. He looks tactically astute. To be fair, he's with a good yard. And I think Canny Style, again, another one where the ground is the key here. Definitely when the ground's on the slower side, you'll see an improvement with the horse. Didn't get that ground last time. Back on slower ground tomorrow. I think Canny Style will take a lot of beating in the 5:30.
Very good. John, it's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
Those four selections, 2:40 at Bath, Osaka in the 4:30 at Catterick, Cupid's Arrow. In the 5 o'clock at Catterick, My Girl Maisie, and in the 5:30 at Catterick. Canny style if you want to chuck those in a Yankee, maybe even a lucky 15. If you wish to do so on Wednesday's racing action, thank you again to John Babb. Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened to the racing podcast. And make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio, the team alive from 1:50 on Wednesday afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.